Very good. Very little risk. I'll take 3 minutes. So my name is John Steinman. I'm the executive director of the Iowa Chamber Alliance. We are the coalition of the 16 largest chambers and economic development organizations across the state of Iowa. And we advocate for policies that will promote economic growth. I want to thank you for the opportunity to present today. What's on our mind as an organization is that we want to make sure that in the 2014 session and the coming biennial budget, that we are making sure that we maintain our priorities that advance economic growth, that build upon the successes of the 2013 legislative session, and also are mindful of what those long-term spending expenditures or what those long-term appropriations are and obligations are, so that we're maintaining a strong fiscal house and that we don't fall back into traps that we've been in the past where we've spent beyond our means. We do believe that there is also opportunity to continue to have strong revenues for the state and provide options for returning more money to taxpayers, primarily through looking at income tax simplification and reduction for both businesses and individuals. Of course, many of Iowa's businesses are owned by individuals, and so they're taxed in partnerships and LLCs on their individual returns. And so we do think that that is a way that there may be some investment of state dollars on the front end, but that it would generate more growth. We're also looking for long-term revenue solutions for our state's infrastructure in the road use tax fund and paying for better and improved roads so that that can also be one of our economic engines. And then, of course, continued investment into our workforce. And so we look for opportunities to continue with training and continue with education reforms that we've had and that we can build upon from this year so we can have the workforce we need going forward. So we look for opportunities to return monies to taxpayers. We look for opportunities to invest into policies that are going to grow our state. Okay. Thanks very much.
John, thank you for your presentation. Michael Sadler is next.
Good afternoon. My name is Michael Sadler. I'm the Assistant Vice President of Government Relations for CenturyLink. For those that aren't aware, CenturyLink has been serving Iowa for 125 years under previous names of Northwestern Bell, US West, Quest, and now CenturyLink. We employ 1,400 Iowans, invest tens of million dollars each year in the telecom network in the state, and we are the state's largest provider, third largest in the nation, and are the only tier one telecom provider in the state, meaning that we have a robust national and international network to connect Iowans to broadband. As we look ahead to 2014, we're looking very forward to working with the governor and legislature to connect every Iowan to broadband, as you, the governor, you've made very clear is a priority of yours. In doing so, we look forward to working with folks to look at how or what is the proper way to tax and regulate our industry. Our customers are demanding more and more bandwidth. There are new technologies coming down the pipe that require additional investment in bandwidth. All that takes money. It'll be up to us to work together to figure out where should our resources be focused, on over-regulation, over-tax, or on investment in new industries and technologies. So that's our focus for 2014. Also very interested, as we have an aging technician workforce, working on workforce issues, making sure folks are getting educated and preparing for the jobs of the future. Thank you.
Hi, I'm the Executive Director of Disability Rights Iowa. Thank you for listening to me today. I'm here to talk about the transition funding over the next month and the next year for the Iowa Juvenile Home. First, I want to thank the governor, his staff, the task force that he appointed, and the many people who testified at the task force for making the decisive act to close down the Iowa Juvenile Home. It was very needed. Although there were many attempts to try to improve services there through training of staff and revision of policies, etc., it just couldn't change its culture from a correctional culture to a treatment-based culture. So I applaud the governor for making the ultimate decision to close down the juvenile home. Presently, we are collaborating with the Department of Human Services to make sure this transition is safe and that the youth are going to the right facilities and settings for them. There has been success so far. One girl who was in isolation for a long time has been restraint-free for 6 months and is now returned to public school. Another success is a girl who was in isolation for a long, long time, is now living in her own apartment with supports, and is preparing to go to community college. So this is the right direction the state is going. Funding-wise, as you know, the state spent $10.5 million annually on the Iowa Juvenile Home. Now that the girls are moving into facilities with Medicaid matches, the state will be able to save money as well. And much of this money can be used, will have to be used for compensatory education for the girls, because education wasn't a priority, and the education department is going to, has already said that there has to be compensatory education provided, behavioral assessments and treatment, and probably monetary incentives to providers so that they have a no eject reject policy. As part of the long range, I would like to recommend that the governor establish and fund a year-long task force to deal with the juvenile justice issues in Iowa generally. We recently visited Missouri, and they have a 30-year juvenile justice system. That seems very impressive, and 31 states have already visited that. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you, Governor. My name is Bob Rafferty, and I'm a representative for Truck Stops of Iowa. We're an organization that represents the truck stops throughout the state. And we want to thank you for this opportunity to present in this public hearing. We want to just take a few minutes to comment on the Iowa Department of Transportation's recent study and their thoughtful approach to reviewing the state's approach to rest areas. Obviously, that could be a need for a significant investment potentially, and they're looking to help save significant dollars in the future to really focus on road funds. And we want to stress that the right policy can not only help increase the dollars available for roads, but it can help encourage the creation of jobs. Truck stops and interstate businesses are a growing part of our economy. In fact, we have had 14 new stops developed over just the past 2 years. In fact, the ability to encourage interstate travelers to spend money here in Iowa has resulted in over 15,000 jobs at our interstate businesses. As the IDOT, as the Department of Transportation looks to address the needs of the traveling public, we strongly encourage strategies that increase jobs and economic development in Iowa while meeting those needs. For example, the Department of Transportation study identified that truck parking was a critical need in the state. Truck stops have added over 700 parking spots over this past 2 years alone here in Iowa. The state would have to build over 25 new rest areas to equal that added truck parking capacity that the private sector has added during that time. With the private sector rapidly responding to consumer needs, Truck Stops of Iowa strongly discourages the state from playing favorites by getting involved in any public-private partnership in the future where the state might co-locate rest areas next to a preferred private business. While sometimes that provides the appearance of being less expensive, it would actually discourage the significant private investment that is currently taking place in the state. So as the state and the department move forward to address the needs of the traveling public, we look forward to working with the state to help address those needs in the most cost-effective manner that delivers the most services for the citizens. Thank you.
Thank you, Governor. My name is Dustin Blythe. I am the president of the Iowa Taxpayers Association. Thanks for having me today. The last three sessions, the governor and the legislature have made great strides as far as the budget goes. And ITA does have a committee on accountable government, and we do lay out eight principles, and I'd like to share those with you as we go through the budget process. One, avoids the use of one-time or time-limited resources for ongoing expenses. Two, avoids implementing new programs for partial fiscal years. Three, avoids multi-year accelerating commitments. Four, avoids new automatic or standing appropriations. Five, accurately determines revenues and expenses. Six, aligns expenses and revenues in the same fiscal year. Seven, avoids shifting program funding to property taxes or fees. And eight, avoids diversion of funds statutory authorized for a specific objective to other purposes. The last three sessions, obviously, a lot of those principles have been adhered to and met, and we applaud everybody involved in that regard. A little bit about ITA. We were formed in 1935. We are made up of 137 small, medium, and large businesses in the state, and we advocate for sound business tax policy. A couple of the issues that we will be bringing forward this session is the issue of consumable supplies, taxing outputs, not inputs. We are working with the Department of Revenue and our members right now to help gather information for a better fiscal note. And then secondly, the idea of automatic coupling. I know some states have recently gone back to automatic coupling, and every year we have an IRC update bill, and it would make our tax system more efficient and more predictable if we do so. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and thank you for those principles. I think it is important that we continue to work with your organization in terms of maintaining those principles. I think that's been very instrumental in the success we've had in the last 3 years. We appreciate the Taxpayers Association being a strong advocate. So with that, we'll go to Deborah.
Bunka. Well, as you know, my name is Deborah Bunka, and I'm a tax-paying resident of Iowa from Ames, and I am also a proud member of Iowa CCI that puts people before profits, and they act on behalf of everyday Iowans. We have several thousand members, and about 60% of those are rural. So I dare say when you take away people that are just buying insurance, perhaps Iowa CCI actually represents more farmers than the Farm Bureau. I think it's my opinion that in state budgets, everyday Iowans tend to be left out. Corporations keep having the red carpet rolled out for them. And this summer, for instance, I traveled across Iowa from the end of June to the end of September talking to people about the Clean Water Act and factory farms. And what I realized after talking to probably close to 10,000 individuals is that people want clean water. They know this state is in dire trouble. But what is happening? There is no priority, for instance, for budgeting the DNR adequately. We need many more inspectors. There are over 8,000 factory farms of a sufficient size in the state that require regulation, according to the EPA, to fulfill the requirements of the Clean Water Act, and yet there has never been one single factory farm in the state that has received a clean water permit. That's just wrong. I mean, you're talking about wanting to bring dollars into this state. What is happening? And I heard this over and over this summer. People are taking their recreation dollars out of Iowa to Minnesota, to Wisconsin, especially Minnesota. I heard that over and over. Those are significant amounts of money, and they're leaving because our waters are so polluted that they can fish, but they can't eat anything they catch. We need the DNR to be fully funded. We need more inspectors. People there want to do their jobs. They just need to feel that priority is coming from the top down. And, of course, our land, our water should be a priority. And if we adequately invested in that, in the same way that we give millions of dollars of tax breaks to corporations here, And we gave some of that money to the DNR to have adequate staffing so they could do their jobs. That would be a long-term investment that would definitely pay off. Another thing that I am very concerned about, we're talking about spending priorities here. I heard one fellow say we have to worry about overspending. No, I think what we really have to worry about is giving that money away. Yeah, well, I just like to say, why are we giving tax breaks to people like Walmart and McDonald's? The Walton siblings have the same amount of wealth. Actually, they have more than the bottom 40% of the United States combined. They don't pay their employees a living wage. Us Iowa taxpayers actually end up paying for their employees' benefits. It's not just about the number of jobs. I read in the paper about your number of jobs. It's about the quality of the job, and that must be a budget priority. And I will see you again, and so will CCI. Thank you.
Switch things up a little bit.
I did. I checked him off and I didn't call him, but that's all right. Henry's next, but okay. Henry, you go ahead, and then Chad will pick you up next.
We can switch names also if that's okay. Well, my name is Henry Gunderson. I'm a sophomore at Roosevelt High School, and I'm also a youth member of the Green Ribbon Commission. The Green Ribbon Commission would like to thank Governor Branstad for his leadership with Iowa's park system and concern for the future. We would also like to thank the legislature. Due to their generous $20 million allocation over the past 4 years, Iowa has been able to take a significant first step in the right direction. But that is only the first step. We'd like to encourage all present to step across party lines and find common ground to enhance and distinguish Iowa's park system in 2014 and beyond, not just for yourselves, but for your sons and daughters and their sons and daughters. We need to unite to make Iowa's parks as incredible for future generations as they were for you and the generations before. We encourage you to follow the Green Ribbon Commission motto, listen and be bold. Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm Chad Kleppe with the Master Builders of Iowa, and thank you for the opportunity to present today during this public hearing. The Master Builders is a commercial construction trade association representing nearly 2,000 member firms who do business in Iowa on the commercial construction industry. Going into the 2014 session, MBI would strongly recommend that the governor's budget use available funds from the Rebuild Iowa Infrastructure Fund to repair the $3.5 billion building portfolio owned and operated by the state of Iowa. The LSA's Fiscal Service Division estimates that over the next 5 years, approximately $400 to $500 million in unencumbered funds will be available for investment. This is due in part to a large number of projects being completed, thus freeing up funds for future years. MBI strongly supports using these funds to repair the existing buildings through a five-year capitals infrastructure plan that identifies needs and uses RIF funds in compliance with the vertical infrastructure definition outlined in the Iowa Code. MBI has been working closely with other contractor groups as well as representatives from the building trade unions with one goal in mind: secure RIF funding for future projects to create jobs while opposing diversions or use of RIF dollars for projects that do not meet the definition of vertical infrastructure. MBI remains opposed to any budget items or non-vertical infrastructure projects that would siphon funding away from publicly owned buildings. By investing in major maintenance today, the state has the potential to extend the usable life of existing facilities and avoid expensive building replacement in the near future. We have far too many examples on the Capitol complex and throughout Iowa of what happens when we ignore major maintenance funding. The Wallace Building is one that comes to mind. MBI shares the goal of this administration in creating 200,000 jobs and increasing individual incomes by 25%. A recently published study by the National Association of Industrial and Office Properties shows that $1 million investment in infrastructure supports 28 jobs. This includes architects, engineers, equipment manufacturers, as well as construction tradespeople and contractors all benefit from this investment. Likewise, a study conducted by the Associated General Contractors of America shows that for every $1 million invested in non-residential building, $2.2 million is added to the state's GDP and creates or sustains 23 jobs. Working together, we can extend the usable life of state-owned buildings in a manner that is pay-as-you-go, avoids long-term bonding, while eliminating the temptation of pork barrel spending. On behalf of the Master Builders, I thank you for your time and consideration and look forward to working with you as you develop your 2015 capital infrastructure budget.
My name is Don Bergmeyer. Thank you for the opportunity to come to speak. In 1992, your office helped me get DHS records. I'm sure you remember some of this. Let me say thank you. But since the governor's office has refused to help me and other falsely accused parents since that time, I had a parentectomy, termination of parental rights. The cost to the state of Iowa to perform the parentectomy was approximately $200,000 and has continued to grow. You probably heard about the five-year-old foster boy who was killed in early September, allegedly by a teenager living in the same foster home in western Iowa. This child was in the custody and protection of DHS. In some ways, a funeral is better than what happens to a lot of children. Many children and the birth parents go through life grieving a living death as a result of the children being ripped from the birth parents on false accusations. Many grandparents step forward to take care of their grandchildren when they fall into the hands of the DHS. The DHS laws are designed so grandparents can't take care of the children. Many grandparents that want to take on that role would do it without cost to the state. The state receives millions of dollars to take children, but there is no financial incentive to return children to their parents or grandparents. Why? I hope you remember my case. I continue to remind you of it as a result of the DHS illegally kidnapping my two daughters, Barb and Tina, in 1985. Are you aware that when a parent talks to the child about God, the DHS calls it child abuse and the court terminates the parental rights? I've won three times in the Supreme Court, but I have no children to prove it. Can you define what a falsely accused parent is to society? Pertaining to the Iowa Public Information Board, I have proven in the last 2 months that the director refuses to use the teeth the legislature put into the law. The director is blocking our legal rights to records, especially DHS. Are you aware of that? Keith Luchtel contacted Assistant Attorney General Diane Staley, who represents the DHS, to get legal advice to deny my right to DHS records, which are my information. Staley represents DHS in a Polk County District Court action involving Don Bergmeyer. Staley is paid to block my ability to get records held by the DHS. Luchtel is paid to block my ability to get records. This is taxpayer money at work. If you have a basket of apples and people start giving you $100 per apple, what are you going to do? You would make sure that you have an unlimited supply of apples. Oh, excuse me, it's children. The Federal Adoption and Safe Families Act provides cash adoption subsidies to adoptive parents until the children turn 18. I provided a paper to you 2 years ago showing the parents that adopted my children received $80,000 just for the adoption subsidy. That was just a drop in the bucket to what the DHS uses federal money spent on my children as well as many other children. I wish you and your family a blessed Christmas. And may these blessings come from God. Thank you.
John Harvey, Vocal of Iowa. worked with some parents who have difficulties with the Department of Human Services. The budget dollars expended for child welfare and protective programs must be carefully directed in sufficiency to operate clearly needed strategies to meet critical needs. Once allocated, clear-cut accountability is required to demonstrate to the investors that the needs are being met and that no tax dollars are wasted or misdirected. Much of the budget woes can be diminished, will be diminished when intervention is diminished and the population is limited to those in real need. John Holtkamp, a former DHS administrator, said there will never be enough funding. Now, that's quite a challenge. When DHS acts to treat every contact and every call as a potential calamity, which requires our state treasurer to address, we will run out of funding options. Our state engages in a massive program of mandatory reporting targeting Iowa families. This results in 58,000 telephone calls for state employees to respond to. Those who do not report suspicious conduct can face punishment. There is no evidence that support efforts are made to diminish the high volume of frivolous and wasteful calls. We will continue to hear DHS is understaffed. Send more money. No money should be allocated until DHS decides to repair the system in such a way that volume is pared down to meet critical need. Mandatory reporting should be abolished. Statute does not grant privilege to DHS workers to lie and to misrepresent in reports and in testimony before the court, to counsel a parent to file divorce with the promise of getting the children, to coerce or to threaten parents to sign documents, to limit interaction between parents and child, to remove children from fit parents, to refuse to give priority consideration to blood relatives for placement and adoption, or to use the law enforcement at taxpayers' expense to intimidate a parent. DHS operations which fall outside legislative intent and serve to assault Iowa families must be defunded. It's time to return dignity to Iowa families and to diminish inappropriate intervention. It's time to trim the size and authority of DHS and to halt authoritarian assault on Iowa families. Thank you, Governor.